Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, good morning. We're so glad to have you here to worship with us today. Today we are in our final message of a series that we've been doing over the last 7 weeks that's hopefully given individuals who are new to our church an understanding of kind of the heartbeat of what we're aiming at, why we exist, and, you know, how everything we do as a church goes through this grid as far as does it accomplish our purpose or not. And if it doesn't, then that is not something that we will pursue. If you have been a part of our church for a long time, we always hope that this series is an encouragement to you because we can never get away from these core principles of what we are aiming at as a church. Otherwise, we will become off track. So we hope this has been profitable during this time. As a reminder, our aim for Robbinsville First Baptist Church is that as the body of Christ, our aim is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. Everything that we do here seeks to accomplish that aim. Now, we've looked at all different parts of this statement over the last few weeks, and today we're going to explore how we can fulfill this aim through loving like Jesus. Because remember, we started all of this with this focus of as the body of Christ. This pursuit is not just an individual aim, although it takes individuals making this their life purpose as well. But our goal together is that as the body of Christ, we're all doing this together because it takes every one of us. We started in Ephesians chapter 1 and looked at verses 22 and 23, and there it explains that the church is to be his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That we are to be the fullness of Christ to the world. And we have the opportunity to do that. And it comes about by fulfilling this aim. What does that look like to love like Jesus? But as soon as we talk about this, we have this picture of a tension. Anytime you talk about love, there's this tension. Because the word is used in so many different ways. So walk with me through this a little bit. I want you to think of what your favorite ice cream is. Okay, and on the count of three, I want everybody to say it at the very same time. I love cookie dough. Moose tracks. I'm a fan of moose tracks. Man, you see, you hear all these and you think, well, maybe that's not really the one that I love. All right, but now I want you to think about your favorite sports team. Doesn't matter what sport it is, at the same time. One, two, three. I love the Blue Devils. Black Knights. A little plug for the locals. All right, now I want you to think about, we're getting ready to go into the fall season and the leaves, and some of you just are diehard winter fans. Others, this is the most dreaded time of the year. So on the count of three, name your favorite season. One, two, three. I love fall. Okay. All these different things. Now, this one final one, I want you to think of a person that you love. Now, if you're a teenager, and you really don't want to belt out at the top of your lungs, maybe an individual that doesn't know that you love them, it's okay, you can just say mom and dad, all right? Count of three. One, two, three. I love Dana. Do you see the tension here? We talk about the weather. We talk about food. We talk about all of these different things in life, and we throw around this word to love in so many different contexts. So our hope this morning is that as we explain and look at what does it mean to love like Jesus, that we're hopefully going to sort out what did he mean by that. Let's see what his definition of that really is all about. So let's pray, and we're going to jump into our study today. Father, we thank you that today, as the body of Christ, we can come together and worship in freedom. We recognize that that's not true of all parts of the world, but we thank you that we can come and worship here today free of persecution, not having to worry about the repercussions of just showing up at church. Father, we pray that today as we study together your word, Father, that the Holy Spirit will have freedom to lead and guide us into all truth, that ultimately we will walk away with a better understanding of your heart and your desire for how we can become the fullness of Christ to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to start with the meaning. What is the meaning of love? Because it is such a vague term, because it's used in so many different ways, we want to come back to what is the heartbeat that Christ said about love. So we're going to go back to, if you have your Bibles, well, I'm going to post these scriptures on the screen, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5. And if you're unfamiliar with the context of this, from Matthew chapter 5 all the way to Matthew chapter 7 is a passage of scripture that is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon is Jesus' declaration. Because over and over, what he's going to say is, you have heard this, I'm going to tell you what God really meant by this. Okay, so he's doing that all the way through all of these chapters, and he does this with this term to love. So in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 43, it says this, you have heard that it was said, going back to the Old Testament, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Seems pretty straightforward. But I say to you, this is the new thing that I am bringing you out to about what the kingdom of God is really all about. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So before we go any farther in this passage, I want you to see, what is he saying? You've heard this, but I'm telling you, this is what love really looks like. To love your enemies. And then he goes on to talk about what that looks like. We love them by blessing those who curse us. Not reacting and responding to them in the same way that they're treating us or the same things that they're saying about us. We respond on the flip side by blessing them instead of cursing them. By initiating good to those who absolutely hate you. To initiate prayer for those who use you and persecute you. This is not the hallmark type of love that we often think about. You know, we like that. Everything always ends well. You know, the story always turns out well in the end. But here's the challenge. He doesn't promise that any of this will actually change the other individual. He doesn't say, oh, you just, if you will understand my heart, if you bless them, they'll change. If you pray for them with all your heart, they're going to become better people. He doesn't say any of that. In fact, he just says, this is what love looks like. Without any guarantee that anyone will ever change. But why do we do it? That next line, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That you will be identified with our Father. That's it. Not because if I do the right thing, then everything will work out for me, or that that individual will quit being a pain in my neck. But I do this simply so that I can be identified with the Father. Because that is what will bring him glory. It talks about his character right there. It says, I let the sun rise on the evil and on the good. I send rain on the just and the unjust. Demonstrate this type of love to be able to be identified by our Father in heaven. That your identity will shine forth because that's the character of our Father. It has nothing to do with how the other individual will change. But listen as he goes on in verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? The tax collectors do so. Therefore, here's the culmination, you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now again, we read these texts sometimes, we think, I'll never be perfect, so I just dismiss the whole thing. But the picture here is not like a level of perfection that you never make another mistake. It is that when you are able to love this way, God is doing something in your heart that is making you whole and complete in a way that is unlike the rest of the world. Anybody can love somebody that's nice to them. It doesn't take the Holy Spirit. It doesn't take being a Christian in order to do that. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 5. You see, we tend to love people that are like ourselves. People that like the same hobbies that we do. They have the same taste of food, or they like to do the same things that we do. And so it's really easy to love those individuals. When we talk about dating and romance, it's really easy to love someone when they are putting everything they can to try to please and to put their best foot forward for the other individual. But that's not what we're talking about here. When we talk about that our aim is to love and live like Jesus, it is that we individually and corporately together will experience an ability to love that is not of this world, that is completely supernatural, that as we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrating God's love to other people, all the way back to loving our enemies, then we change in the process. That God uses that to make us whole and complete in Him in a way that doesn't happen if you just love people that are easy, love people that are good to you, love people that like the same thing that you do. The term the Bible uses to describe this godlike love is agape. And it is something that is distinct, that only somebody with the Holy Spirit living inside of them can actually produce. It's not natural in any way. See, anyone can experience this. Anyone can be able to demonstrate this to other people as long as you put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when you put your faith in that for salvation, you immediately receive the Holy Spirit. And this love is only able to be demonstrated by and through the Holy Spirit living within you. Our culture makes this term a little confusing. Because oftentimes when we talk about love, we talk about, do I feel loved? We immediately turn it into a feeling, which is subjective to my perspective. And this is not the type of love that he is talking about here. It is something that comes from the Holy Spirit within a believer that demonstrates a godlike love that the world longs to see but doesn't have access to. Jesus said some really hard things, and Rance mentioned this last week when we talked about why do people walk away from Christ. That some of the things and responses that Jesus gave to individuals that seemed to be pursuing him were rather harsh. Remember the rich young ruler? Go and sell all you have, and then you can be my disciple. You think, man, that surely he could use all that stuff for good, right? But when Jesus was interacting, he was always speaking to the heart of the issue. And what really needed to change at the heart, Jesus knew the man had an attachment to that was not healthy. That was what was really on the dominant throne of his heart, regardless of what his words were saying. So if we only view love as a feeling, that I'm only loved when I feel loved, we have a problem here, because Jesus said some really hard things, and people walked away from him at times because of that. It didn't mean that Jesus was unloving because they chose to walk away. Everything he did was done in love. So this is not our usual Hallmark greeting cards that we have. But that's why it is so important to go back, and we go back to things like the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus' declaration to help us to understand some of these principles of what is he really talking about when it comes to love? And is this something that you really desire? When we talk about our aim as a body is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus, is that something that really is your greatest purpose? When we were going through the I love you statements and the one flashed on the screen, a person, did anybody mention like their greatest enemy? I mean, is that what naturally comes to our mind? But that's what Jesus is talking about, is he is seeking to help us to define what love really is, something that is supernatural. So if that's the meaning of love, then where do we go from here? You see, Jesus was our model on what love is. And so we want to look next on what is the model of love. How did he do it? If this love was that revolutionary, then how do we do it? How do we do this? How do we model this love? Well, we're going to look at the life of Christ. And we're going to start by looking at John chapter 15, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. But John chapter 15 starts with this picture of Jesus is the vine, God is the vine dresser, we are the branches. And he's going to encourage us, if you want to bear fruit, and that fruit is specifically love, as he goes on in John 15, if you want to bear fruit, stay connected to the vine. Because apart from that connection to the vine, you can do nothing. But in John 15, verse 9, he says this, just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you, so remain in my love. I want you to see this kind of as an overarching picture of what Jesus was communicating. If you want to be able to model the love of Jesus and to understand it in its fullness, look what Jesus said. First of all, I experienced it, just as the Father has loved me. See, there are a lot of people in this world that have been taken advantage of their entire life. They didn't grow up in a home that was safe and secure, where love was the dominant theme. They got out of that home, they were taken advantage of in so many different facets. And sometimes when they walk in the church and they see and experience this type of love that we're talking about here, they immediately become suspicious. What do you want from me? Nobody treats me that well without expecting something in return. But in order to be able to demonstrate that kind of love, you have to experience that kind of love. And so Jesus experienced that from the Father. This was the love relationship that I experienced from him. Then, out of that experience, he demonstrated it. This was the model I gave you. I loved you in the same way that the Father has loved me. So where do we get our source and identity and our strength? Remain in my love. We're going to look here in a little bit in Ephesians chapter 3, and it talks about just the depth of the love of God. That this is not something that's just communicated in 30 minutes and you don't think about it the rest of your life. When we explore the depth of the love of God, that's where this whole thing starts. How confident are you that your identity is based solely on a child of God who is loved by him? Not by what you do in the church, not by what you've accomplished in your marriage, not by the success of your children, not by how active you have been in the biblical disciplines of the spiritual world, devotions, prayer time. At the end of the day, where do you find your identity? Because in order to be able to love like him, you have to be so firm in that foundation of his love that is your sole identity. And as you grow in relationship with him and you understand and experience his love in different ways by different experiences that you've gone through, you know, it's one thing to read the Bible and say that God is love. But for anybody that has lost somebody close and felt like, I don't know how to recover, all of a sudden your world is stripped away in a way that maybe you've never experienced before. All of a sudden, as you continue to grow and lean on Christ and God the Father, you experience a depth and an intimacy of love with him that you wouldn't have maybe experienced without going through some really hard things. So our goal and our prayer is that we understand the love of Christ deeper and deeper. Yet, really, as you think about it, love is so simple. This week, I was having lunch with a gentleman at Wendy's, and apparently there was somebody that came in before I had gotten there, and they had dropped their napkins and straws all over the ground, and And the friend that I was eating with just went and picked it up and just helped the guy pick that up. Well, as they were finished up dinner and they were walking by our table, and the man said, "I really appreciate you just stopping to help me pick that up." And it was his next line that kind of caught me off guard. He said, "I bet you're a Christian, aren't you?" You think, he picked up napkins off the floor. Like, anybody could do that, right? But there was something that this man saw in my friend that said, that's not natural. Most people would have just walked by. But you could tell he was also watching our conversation and watching his demeanor. But it was the simple act of love of just stopping to help pick up napkins that alerted this gentleman, who I think was from out of town, that maybe there's something different about you. Are you a Christian? And he got to rejoice in that. He said, "I'm a Christian as well. You know, I'm so thankful for you." And it went on his way. It was so small and so simple. But notice the depth of the love of Jesus. So it can be such a small act, but watch how the Father demonstrates this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners," not when we had things to give, "while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood," okay, that's for the believer, "we shall be saved from wrath through Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." When we talk about the model of Jesus, Matthew 5 came full circle as they were hanging him on the cross, and he took the penalty of our sins so that we could experience life. But remember being on that cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." How, in the midst of that kind of persecution, do you demonstrate a love thinking outside of yourself in a way that is not natural? And that's exactly the point of the love of God, as we're talking about. It's not natural. So that when we talk about this love, that's why Jesus said in John chapter 13, "A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another," and then here's the new part of it, "as I have loved you." I came, I modeled it. Demonstrate that love to other people. That was his goal. So how do we get there? We've looked at the meaning of what love was. We've looked at the model that Jesus set. Lastly, we're going to look at this method of how you and I love. And we come to this by one of the most fascinating passages that I love, a prayer that I go back to over and over in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, at the start of this series, we focused a lot on the book of Ephesians and the purpose of the church. And in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, he talks about that the church was there so that the manifold wisdom of God, this mystery that had been hidden from past generations, that Paul was there to proclaim that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Savior, that was open for anyone. Jews, Gentiles, anyone could become a part of the family. The church was to make known that manifold wisdom of the fullness of God. We do this by being able to model and to demonstrate the love that Jesus modeled for us. But how do we do that? In Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 14. This is Paul's prayer right after he declared that was the aim and the goal of the church. Paul says, "In light of that, for this reason, I pray, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he, the Father, would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." You see, what we learn from the first part of this prayer is that the source of all of this love comes from God the Father. And it is appropriate to ask that out of his abundant riches, that he would give to us this ability to be able to love in this godlike way that is completely supernatural. But we don't do it by challenging ourselves to, I got to get better. I just got to do more loving things, and then I will accomplish this vision statement. No, what does he say? That we would be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell, or to take up residence, to be completely at ease in your life and in your hearts through faith. That's where our source is going to come back to. If you want to understand how to love, it starts, and it is very appropriate to begin to pray that God would give you the strength and the ability to love those that the world would say, that's not worth your time. Why would you love someone that has treated you like that? He goes on, that you, Christians, being rooted and grounded in love, that's our source, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to remember how he goes back to that in Ephesians chapter 1, that the church is to be the fullness of God who fills everything in every way. And now as we come to this prayer, he's telling you this is how you experience this depth of fullness of God, by being able to ask for the strength to love in this way. But it starts that you experience it, that you explore it in all of its infiniteness. The width, the length, the depth, the height. To know. That word there, to know, it's this idea of to take it eagerly, to seize upon it. It's not a passive thing. If I happen to figure it out, that's great. It is to know something that you are initiating. The love of Christ, and this is part of our dilemma in this message, which passes or is beyond knowledge. It's a real challenge when you get up to speak on a subject that is beyond comprehension. That it takes you initiating, being rooted and grounded in this love, and experiencing this love as your firm source of identity. So that out of that love, you then are able to pass that on. So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, and so that as a church, we are able to show off the fullness of God through the church together. This is not just a head knowledge, it's not just facts about knowledge, but it is a personal experience that he is seeking, that he is praying for the church. Now we're going to look at the last two verses in this chapter, and these are two verses that are used so many different ways, but I want you to see how this fits right in the context of this prayer. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And remember the previous verse, the love that surpasses knowledge or comprehension. Now we use this in a lot of different situations where you don't really know what the outcome is going to be, but remember, God is able to do the impossible. This morning, I want you to keep it within the context of what this prayer is all about. He's just told us that to understand the love of God is impossible. But now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The one who is able to make the impossible possible. The one who is able to help you to understand the love of God no matter how you have been treated or what you have gone through in your life. He is able to do the impossible. And that is our prayer, that individuals that come to this church, they could have gone through all kinds of different things. But we want them to come and to be able to experience the fullness of God, to be loved, to be cared for, without saying, We really appreciate you coming. Now we'd love to get you plugged in and really busy in the church. We want them to experience this dimension of who God is, because we know that in order for them to begin to demonstrate love to others, they have to fully experience the love of God. And he does that through tactile people. You and I get to be a part of this process. When Jesus said it was better that I go away, Jesus modeled love in one place at one time in the world. And he's saying, it is to your advantage because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when he is going to indwell you and give you the power to show off my character to other people, you get to be a part of this process. According to the power that works in us. Here's the amazing thing. God doesn't force you to love. But he does give you the opportunity to be his hands and feet. But how do we go about that? So I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago as Rance was actually speaking on Jesus molding us to becoming like Christ. I came across this instrument. And this instrument's called an ocarina. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. If you're any kind of a gamer or you really love Legends of Zelda, okay, this really kind of became popular. This has been around for thousands of years, okay? This is a flute-type instrument that is made out of clay. They take clay, they form it, they put holes in just the right places. But this instrument in and of itself, it doesn't have the capacity to produce music. But it is, as it allows the creator to mold it and to make it, it has the potential of producing beautiful music. At this time, I'm going to have Doug play just a small clip because I will not do it justice if I try to do this. So listen. Such a small, you did catch it. Such a small instrument. But it takes someone blowing air through it to produce the full beauty of this instrument. You see, if you are to leave today and to take away our aim as the body of Christ is to love more, I should really try harder, then we've failed. That's why we've gone to the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. To understand, to help you understand, this is not something that you just self-generate. But when you simply allow the Holy Spirit to blow through your life, to allow the radiance of the character of our Father to just go into every direction of your life, then you get to show off not your beauty, but the beauty of the Father. Because when we love like Jesus, we are sons of the King. That's our identity that comes out. And that's what we have the opportunity to be a part of as a church. Our aim is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. We want that for each of you. This is a process. How do I grow daily and depend more and more on the Holy Spirit in my life to allow him to make the beauty of the music through me? That is our prayer. So I have a final thought as we get ready to close. This week I was given a letter of this verse that I want to end on, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which says this: watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong, but let all that you do, every dimension of your life, be done with love. The agape, God-like love. That's what we're here to help you achieve. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that we get the opportunity to be a part of this incredibly grand process of showing off your character. Father, in our own strength, this is impossible. In the world's eyes, this is absolute foolishness. Who would dare love their enemy and those that are seeking to destroy them? Father, I pray that our church and our lives, that all will be done in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.